Syracuse and the world. My name is Prince, and I've come to play with you.
40-footer Perennis.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, I got a live one here.
10-win season, just the seventh in the history of the program. Dino Babers has delivered on his promises.
It's over! It's over! The Orange have won it! Syracuse has won the national championship!
This is the Seth Everidge Show.
Hey there, ho there. How is everybody doing there? ESPN Syracuse, live and local in snowy central New York. My name is Seth Everett. We have a basketball game tonight, so the center of the sports universe is in Syracuse, New York, in the renovating dome, as the Orange will take on Iowa in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which I don't think a person in the central New York said when they announced the ACC Big Ten Challenge said, yippee. Good morning, Paulie. How are you?
Yippee.
Yippee.
I just wanted to say that because I'm great. I'm looking forward to
it. I'm not being a curmudgeon. It's fine that they're playing, but is this a ratings bonanza?
No, but I'd take Iowa right now over Michigan State or anybody, of the upper tier teams. You know, this team is a team that I think Syracuse can compete with, but
oh, goody.
I've been wrong about everything I've said this year, so.
Yeah, so far, every time you said that, it's been the kiss of death. You know, I did see on social media, I did see an article, I even saw the Daily Orange today. I see everybody saying it's a must win. And I'll say one opposite thought. It's only a must win. No. It's not a must win. It's only a must win if you think this team is going somewhere. And all I've been saying is, show me first.
Well, that's so their opportunity.
Fine. Show me this. This is not going to be, if this is a crushing defeat, this is another one in a line now of defeats. Was Oklahoma State a crushing defeat? Yeah, I thought so. Because at that moment, we thought this was the start of something big. Now I'm in the position where, okay, if they lose to Iowa, it's all right, move on, keep the line moving. They lose to Georgia Tech, it's the same thing. And this team, you know, all the numbers and everybody's saying, and I understand this market and I understand how their high expectations, this team isn't it. And we have been painfully shown it. There are diagrams. I can draw you a Venn diagram of how this team is not it. This team doesn't have it up front. This team's backcourt is young. Hughes is the best player on the team, but he's not Michael Jordan. And the fact is this team doesn't have it. So if you beat Iowa, it's not suddenly a season on the brink. It's not suddenly, oh, wait a second, NCAAs. This team, after the Friday loss to Penn State, was not even being talked about in terms of NIT. So the pendulum can't swing opposite in one game. You'd have to win all three of these games to raise my eyebrow.
Which is doable, I think.
Yes, eternal optimist, yes.
Yeah, it's not eternal optimism. It's Syracuse University. These guys, it's not the football program.
I know who they are. There's a talent level. I know the tradition, and I know the expectation. I know all of that. This team's not it.
I don't know that yet. It's very young, okay. And I think there's a couple guys on the squad that need to really. I don't normally question the Hall of Famer, and I hate when people call in and talk about playing time. But I think when you get beat on the boards by 25, there's a guy on the bench that's got an NBA body, Quincy Guerrier, and I think he probably needs to play a little more. And
okay, fine. Before you move to your next thought, can I just counter that?
Go ahead.
Counter that. Don't you think there's a reason?
Yeah, he's probably not ready or good enough, but there's no other option. It's not a. What are you getting out of the guy that's in front of him? You know,
nothing.
Is Marek really rebounding that well?
No.
Yeah, so
they're not that good. But that's the thing. They're not that good. And this is going to, any two ways from Sunday. You want to bring in the Quincy Guerrier suggestion?
You say they're not that good, but yes, I get that. But Marek has been here 2 years, and we know what we're getting out of him. Quincy, at least, maybe, I don't know. I think it's... I don't know if I'm at it where you're just throwing it at the wall
last
now and
week,
hoping
but
it
last
sticks.
Last week you said the exact same thing about Girard. So I'm not down on Girard. He's
Nor
too young. Guerrier's too young.
Nor am I.
These guys are too young. They're not suddenly going to come in and take over a basketball game. There's no secrets in this sport.
No, and Girard's gotten the time, and I think maybe... Bryson Goodine should maybe get a couple of those minutes too, and you've got to, Seth.
Rearranging deck.
Seth, I'm not saying they're going to win games. I'm not saying they're going to win games with this.
Okay,
but these are young kids, and you've got to get them all better.
Of course.
But
that doesn't make tonight a must win. But that think about the origin of the conversation. The origin of the conversation was: is this a must win for the Orange? It's a must win if you have a shot as anything. But I don't think they do, so it doesn't make a difference.
This team
and
has a shot.
Tonight's not going to change. This team is not going to change my mind. Now,
you don't think that they could make the 68 best teams with what they've got?
I think that once they start playing better, they play much better competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a 500 team, now when I say under 500, let's just use the games against solid opponents. You want to just use that word?
Decent.
Decent. Okay. So how many have they played so far? You want to call Colgate decent? Yes. Right?
Nothing.
All right. You want to take Colgate out? That's fine. Yeah. I
think they've played three decent opponents.
Three decent opponents. That is Oklahoma State, Penn State, and Virginia.
Correct.
Okay. 0-3. What of the next three? Are all three decent? Yes.
One is. Now that Georgetown's lost two players and Georgia Tech's not good.
But they're road games. I don't know.
And I would say they played two decent teams and one very, very good team in that mix.
Okay.
So.
We'll see. What time's pregame start?
5:30.
Is this it?
5:30 on TK, 6 o'clock on ESPN.
Right now. It's just
yeah, because it's all we're going to be talking about in this town all day on ESPN.
For a day. It's for a day. Look, you have a game for a day. And the fact of the matter is that I am not a negative person, but I'm also not a hype machine. And I never will be. I call it like I see it. And you know what it looks like. And this is not against you. It's not against anybody. It's just let's call it what it is. It's a mishmash and it's not ready. And
you
want to talk about the last, you know, the lack of scholarship money because of violations. You want to go there? We can do it. The fact of the matter is that this program is not ready. And when the ACC comes a-hunting, this team's going to get blown away. And so, no, they're not an NCAA team. And what they need to be is to fight to get into that other tournament.
I think,
and that's not the Syracuse way. And I hate to say it, but watch the games. And this is where I'll say to fans, prove me wrong.
Well, it's not up to the fans to prove you wrong. It's up to the team to prove you wrong.
That's a good point.
And I'm just saying, I'm not ready.
I have no problem. I would love to be wrong. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I don't think we're ready to say they're not going to be good enough at the end of the year. And I also am not ready to say that it's over either. You know, rebounding you can fix, you know. You don't teach you can fix rebounding.
Okay.
You know, you can fix hustle. You can, if they continue to shoot poorly, that's going to be a huge problem. But getting beat on the boards by 25, you can fix it. And if you can't fix it, you sit people. You know,
but you need replacements.
That's what I started with. You've got guys on the bench. You've got to at least give them a shot at this point, right?
But those replacements are kids in a man's game. They're not ready for prime time.
How do you get ready, though?
You got to play.
Yeah.
Right, but are we having two conversations? It's two separate things. Are we talking about the overall evolution of this program? Yes. This is a great test. This is a great litmus test, and it's great to see what Gerard and what Goodine and everybody, Guerrier, you want to do all these folks. You give them all the time, and let's have proper evaluations. Tomorrow's going to be a hoot. But what you can't do is you can't call this a must-win. Because must wins are for teams that have really high expectations. And what I'm saying is this team can't have it. They can't.
That is such a horrible way to go walking around life. It is a must. It really is a must. This team, if it wants to, you're saying they can't get better.
I'm saying they won't get better. They're not better. I'm saying what I don't want to do is I don't want to be phony. And I don't want to just say, well, you know, if they can beat Iowa and then they'll win at Georgia Tech's not good. And then I can't live like that. Beat Iowa and then we'll talk about Georgia Tech. Just like, remember the same conversation about the football team when it was Duke, right? They came up against Duke. They beat Duke handily, right? Handily. Everybody's talking about a bowl game now. And I said, great, go beat Louisville. Then we'll talk. Beat Iowa. Then we'll have a conversation. That's the beauty of doing a show every day.
Yeah.
But right now.
Well, then at least be consistent in it. Say, hey.
I'm very consistent.
You're saying this team's not going to be good.
No. It doesn't matter. That's a prediction. That's a prediction. What I'm saying is I call it like it is. And right now, this team's not in a position to be worried about their resume. They need to just worry about what you said, rebound the ball and shoot the ball and play your game and don't let the opponent dictate the tone of play. Do that. Do that once. Then we'll talk.
All right.
Then we can talk about resumes and then we can talk about all the things that everybody in Syracuse knows and expects and has been having their entire life because we are blessed to have been in a market that has this program.
And I hate saying this about college players, but I think we're at a point where we know what we're going to get out of a certain group on this team. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you on this. We know what we're getting when Marek hits the floor, when Barama hits the floor. Like, are we all? That's where I'm concerned. Are these guys all of a sudden? That's why I'm saying Quincy Gary, Bryson Goodine, Joe Girard have got to, you know, do something because I think we know what we got, and the other guys. It's been 3 years. Like
let's see what a real expert has to say about this. Donna DeToto from Syracuse.com and the Post Standard. Her weekly spot is coming up in just a couple of moments. My name is Seth Everett. He's Paulie Sibilia. He's the positive one, so like him more. It's fine. I have no problem. That's what he's fishing
I've never for. Been called he the just, po- I have never been called the positive
he
one before.
Just wants people to like him. That's what it's going at. This is ESPN Syracuse.
This is the Seth Everett Show.
All right, back here on ESPN Syracuse. So glad you're with us. SU and Iowa coming up tonight.
Was that the most heated we ever got?
No.
Disagreeing on SU basketball?
No, you told me I couldn't bet against Clemson.
Okay,
much worse.
I think this team can get better.
That wasn't even a fight. We're arguing semantics.
You're just negative. You're just negative.
Oh, yeah. I'm negative, right. Pot calling kettle black. joining us now, as she does each and every Tuesday at this time, from the Post Standard in Syracuse.com, it's our friend Donna DeToto. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Appreciate it, as always. Heading into tonight's game, before I ask the obvious question, one takeaway from the whole Brooklyn experience. First of all, did you have a nice Thanksgiving, and was everything in Brooklyn fun?
Yes, well, we stayed in Manhattan, and we had a lovely week. The race was fantastic. The weather was perfect. It could not have gone better.
Yeah, the pictures look good. The takeaway from those two games, especially the Penn State game, was that this team's not ready, which we knew, but that it could take even longer to get ready. Do you subscribe to that theory? Do you think that this is really just a tutelage kind of season and that really fans should lower their expectations quickly?
Well, I mean, it's hard not to come out of those two games to think, man, a lot of stuff needs fixing. And so I think people are going to have to be patient. And the problem is, you know, they're about to play three pretty good teams in a row after they've just played two really good teams in a row. So, I don't know. I guess I would say yes. You should probably temper your expectations. You shouldn't imagine this to be a NCAA tournament team. And then if they are an NCAA tournament team, by some stroke of luck, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Completely agree with that. That's a much more eloquent statement. And if you had been on the previous segment, I would have had a much better open. That's smarter to say. So therefore, going into these three games, they're being billed, at least on social media and what I'm reading and stuff that I'm seeing, is these are resume builders. These are chances for this team to build resume for what they're going to need later. And my attitude has been, beat one of these teams and then we'll have that conversation.
Yeah, they have to win some games. I mean, that's just the bottom line of it. You have to win. I mean, they're going to play. The team tonight is going to be a really, really tough game for Syracuse. I mean, they have the advantage of playing at home, which is always good. But they've got a really good big man, which, as we saw in New York, is a problematic for Syracuse and Syracuse's defense. Their big man is even better than the big man. Well, I mean, it's a different kind of player. He's tall. He can shoot threes. He can score inside. You know, he's very good. He's a giant dude. So that is going to be problematic. They also have shooters, which is also equally problematic. So, yeah. You know, they have to start winning some of these games. And tonight is going to be, I think, the toughest of the three teams coming up, especially since Georgetown's entire roster now seems to have been decimated by various defections. I mean, you know, they've got a whole bunch of issues at Georgetown. And Georgia Tech has been tough for Syracuse. They are a very good defensive team, and Syracuse is going down to Atlanta. And Georgia Tech is probably better than people think they are.
Well,
but yeah, I agree with you. Win some games. They need to win some games.
Well, and then there comes a thing where I don't want to discount the opponent, because that's another thing that I find a lot of people in Syracuse. You know, if we don't rebound or if we get out rebounded, suddenly it's we're not rebounding. Not the other team is boxing out correctly. Our front court is skinny. And Marek Dolezal is inconsistent, and Barama Sidibe is tiny compared to the opponents he's going to be facing. That's not something you can teach, is it?
No, I mean, those guys are just physically outmatched. I mean, Marek and Barama gave up 44 and 70 pounds to that big dude who played, Mike Watkins, who played for Penn State. And I mean, I'm sorry, you can have as great a technique as possible. You can be great at getting to the glass. You can be quicker to get to the spot. But the fact of the matter is, the kid was just a phenomenal rebounder. He knew where to be, and he's just way bigger. I mean, he can just displace those guys so easily. I mean, it's hard to be 70 pounds lighter than the person you're guarding. It's just really hard.
Don, I don't normally get on the whole bandwagon of coaches playing players that who should be playing, who shouldn't be. But when you look at Quincy Gary, he has the body that seems to be the type that could get in there and get rebounds. And is it almost to the point where we know what we're getting out of Marek, we know what we're getting out of Barama, and it's almost time just to throw him to the wolves and say, hey, go get the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the only big guy. He's the only guy who has the kind of strength. And I also think he's a really good instinctive rebounder, too. He knows where to be when the ball goes up, which is important, too. I mean, a lot of it is just knowing how to play, right? And I think he's really good at, when the ball goes up or when the ball is about to go up, getting into a spot where he can get the rebound. And he's tenacious. You know, he's a tough guy. And he's a guy I really like him. I really think he should play.
But he wasn't playing. And what do you, as the reporter that you are, what do you surmise is Coach Boeheim's reason for not? Because my attitude, and this was the argument that I had with Pauly, which was, you know, he's making this strong case for Guerrier, and I totally get it. But there's a reason he's not playing, right? And Jim Boeheim usually knows that reason.
Well, I think the reason that he's given for that he's not playing is he doesn't understand the defense. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be. You know, and he's not scoring at the pace where, you know, if you give up 20 points a game, you know, and you're scoring 5 or 6 points a game, that's not a good balance of equation there. So I think he needs to get better defensively. That's one of the things he needs to do a lot better. He's admitted, you know, he's still learning. He doesn't really understand sort of the mechanizations of the zone, where to be, where not to be. And I think he's very raw offensively. You know, I think he just needs to understand a little bit better about where he should be on the court and how to do certain things on the court. You know, I think he prefers to be on the perimeter, and they can't afford to have him on the perimeter. And he hasn't been all that successful on the perimeter thus far. So, I mean, I think there are things that kept him off the court, one being his offensive awareness has not been great, and his defense hasn't been great. But to Paulie's point, I assume he was making, he's a big, tough, strong kid. And on a team that sort of lacks those kinds of guys, you know.
That's why it wasn't a fight. It was more like a dispute or a debate. Because the reality of it is that, yeah, whatever works. I mean, that's the reality of it is. And what I was starting this by saying is just temper and expectations, just because as they figure this out, the opponents get harder and harder and harder and harder, to the point of when next thing you know, you're on January 15th and this team's under 500. That scares me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the reasons, too, is that you try to get some of these guys in and get them some minutes like Quincy is because, you know, they need to get acclimated to college basketball. You know, for however good these guys were in high school, it's a completely different atmosphere in college, right? The guys are much bigger, much stronger. I mean, they're playing against seniors and college seniors who, you know, are 22, 23 years old and who just know how to play, who got experience all these years. And it's hard. It's harder than way harder than people think. And so getting these guys into the games and getting them to understand how to play with each other and getting them into the flow of game situations, all that's really important.
It certainly is. When this team, you know, they're kids, so I don't want to get too in-depth on this, but do you sense the resolve is still strong? Do you sense that this team is still upbeat? Because that was a frustrating couple of games, and I remember the after effects of the Madison Square Garden visit last year kind of had a negative impact for weeks. Is this team kind of even-keeled because maybe they're so young that they don't know any better? And I guess I'm looking at Gerard.
Yeah, it's hard to sort of gauge at this point. I mean, they've played 2 games, and both times I saw them after the games, you know, they weren't particularly happy. They played pretty badly and had lost the game. So, I mean, they've had a few days, you know, and it's always good to sort of have a few days just to think about what happened and just try to not to push the panic button, you know, to kind of ease back a little bit and think, you know, maybe, you know, here's how we can solve this instead of dwelling on here's what we did bad, right? And so I think over these last few days, I'm assuming, you know, they've looked at film, they've said, here's what you can do better, and so then you attack it from that perspective. You say, here's what we do next time. Here's how we can improve our rebounding. Here's how we can improve our attacking the paint. Here's how we can improve. I mean, a whole bunch of things happen. And I think once you shift over to sort of analytical and sort of how to attack things, it doesn't get as dire as when you're sitting in the locker room and you've just 2 straight games.
Yeah,
so, in terms of Joe, you know, Joe struggled, and I think Buddy struggled too. The backcourt had a really tough time scoring in Brooklyn. You know, those two teams are pretty good defensive teams, but they're going to play a lot of really good defensive teams down the road. And these are all experiences where, you know what, let's see if we can figure out a way to get open better. Let's see if we can figure out a way to get these guys better shots. Let's see if we can figure out a way to get Joe in the lane a little bit easier and present him with scoring options once he gets in the lane. So I think sort of analyzing going forward is going to help.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the fact of the matter is all they can do is play. What I don't think is, I don't look at this game as a big game, because any game they can win becomes the big game. And that's going to be the key. And you kind of said that earlier. Donna, we appreciate the time. As always, enjoy the game tonight. And we'll look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
All right. Have a great week, guys. Thank you.
All right. Donna DeTota from Syracuse.com and the Post Standard right here on ESPN Syracuse on the Burdick Toyota guest line. We'll react to that and see what else is ticking Paulie off. We're coming up next on ESPN Syracuse.
This is the Seth Everett Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Bill Rapp's Rapid Purchase. Enjoy the entire car buying process from your laptop, mobile device, or tablet at BillRapp.com. Our thanks to Donna DeTota. I mean, she was very eloquent in her way of saying the same thing that we were saying earlier, which is you got to start winning.
Yeah, and I think my takeaway from this is, and I've said it over the past couple of broadcasts, I think I'm over Marek Dolezal.
I think you are.
I'm over it. Like you
yeah,
go
I,
and you
I just don't think he's that good. I don't know what he was sold as, because maybe
he was never sold as anything, but he just shows flashes and it gets frustrating. Yeah. You're like, why can't you do that more often? Like you go out and dump 20 points on somebody, 19 points on somebody, and then you vanish for five games.
Yeah. Lesser extent, not apples to apples, but that's how I felt about Tyus Battle last year.
Tyus Battle, how could you be over him? He's consistent.
No. There would be days where he came out. If I had the schedule in front of me, I could circle the games where he would just come out and he had six, and he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And all of a sudden, like, and then the next game he'd have 32, and you're like, wait a minute, that guy, that's the guy. And I'm telling you, it's frustrating when you see flashes like that. I just think if this team wins tonight, let's just say, for the sake of the argument, this team wins tonight, there will be a fervor going into the Georgia Tech game.
Which is good.
Which is great. That's what I like. But notice the one word, win. Win a game. If you lose tonight, I still think there's, you know, a lot of bodies turn up for Georgia Tech. I know it's a road game, so people will be watching and listening, but they'll still be paying attention. And then you always get up for Georgetown. I don't care who's on their roster. I don't care if they have a bunch of ex-cons in a chain gang. It's fine. I want to beat Georgetown.
Yeah.
I don't know why there was a connection to Georgetown with that reference, but hey, listen, if the shoe fits, it's fine. I know you haven't seen The Mandalorian, but have you seen the memes and the GIFs of all the Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
So there's a really funny scene in the last episode where the Mandalorian is flying his spaceship and Baby Yoda touches a button. And Mandalorian goes and reaches over and shuts whatever he turned on off. And then he does it again. And then he does it again. And then he pushes another button and it causes the whole ship to shake. And he's just being a baby. And that's what babies do. What people have done on Twitter is they're inserting audio of it. So the first time Baby Yoda presses the button, a really obnoxious song comes on, like "Never Gonna Give You," and then Mandalorian shuts it off, and then he'll do it again, and it'll be "Never Gonna Cut You Down." He'll do it again, and I think social media is more fun than the actual scene. The scene was cute. Don't get me wrong. The scene is cute. I'm not spoiling The Mandalorian here. There's a scene. If you've been living under a rock and don't know that there's a Baby Yoda, and the only reason why he's called Baby Yoda is because nobody knows who he is. And guess what? Four episodes in, you still don't know who he is. So we just call him Baby Yoda, and that's fun. And now Baby Yoda is showing up in stores.
Of course. That's why they made him.
But here's the thing. So my wife works in licensing,
mm-hmm.
and so she goes to licensing show. It's
sounds
a big
fun.
Show in Vegas. Licensing show is pretty cool because DC and Marvel and all the toy companies and all the properties promote what they have coming up so that toy makers can make bids to make toys, right? There was not a mention of Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really weird because there's Rey stuff, you know, for all the stuff for episode 9. If you go to a store right now, you would see Rey and Chewbacca and BB-8. By the way, what's your feeling on BB-8? Do we like BB-8?
I don't care.
He's the Marek Dolezal of Star Wars.
He's not. It's just kind of just kind of there.
See where I went there?
Yes,
I went that far just to get a Marek Dolezal.
It affects nothing. Just sits there and rolls around. I like it. It's a good comparison.
But R2-D2 was very chummy. Like, and R2-D2 was very important.
Well, R2-D2 and C-3PO are huge characters. It's almost as if we're... people saying that this whole story of Star Wars has been seen through their eyes.
Correct.
So,
and the interesting, because he has coverings, that's one of my favorite lines from the prequel, when Jake Lloyd in Phantom Menace goes, "I'm so sorry, 3PO, I meant to give you coverings." All I kept thinking is, don't worry, he gets them. They turn gold. It's fine. He'll be okay.
So you think they're not licensing the Baby Yoda because they don't want to give away who he is?
No, they kept it a secret. What I'm saying is for them to not tell anybody publicly. Now, when I say publicly, I'm talking about in the industry. I'm not saying they have to put it on Twitter, and I guess that's why they can't do it, because nobody can be trusted. It's the quick tangent. Did you see Pete Davidson, the SNL guy? He made his attendees of his comedy show sign a non-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big trend in comedy, because what they're doing is they don't want you to film 20 seconds of a joke, put it out on the internet, and then nobody buys tickets to their shows because they've seen the jokes. You know, like that's the thing. But Pete Davidson is charging $1 million if you write one thing acknowledging that you were at Pete Davidson's shows. It's pretty weird. They have those agreements in licensing. So sometimes when she has to go into a presentation, when she saw a presentation for Endgame, Avengers Endgame, and that's a spoiler-filled film, mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
And that film, she had stuff. Now, she told me, but I didn't say it on a podcast. I didn't say it on a radio show. Like, I'm not going to break her non-disclosure agreement. If she had said one thing about a Baby Yoda, I'd have remembered. And I said, was there ever anything? Nothing. And all I wonder is how much lost revenue. Because if you only gave it to like four toy makers, let's say you made it to a doll maker and like three other partners, and you said, here, keep this on the hush hush, make this and put it out in stores when this show comes out. Like, that's remarkable that in 2019 you can do that.
Maybe they are waiting to do, this is my take, maybe they're waiting to do it so they don't give away the end of the story. Because if you acknowledge who right. it is, then you may ruin the story. Because what if it's Yoda's kid or a clone Yoda or, you know, who knows?
No. My brother-in-law, by the way, did a really nice thing. He bought me a ticket to a screening of Star Wars Episode 9 the night it comes out in New York City. So I will be super tired the next day.
Oh, we all will. Brent and I go every Star Wars release. He and I go together.
But you go to the opener?
Yeah. Everyone bought me tickets. I probably should buy him something at some point. But he's bought the tickets to every Star Wars opening since The Force Awakens. So we did Rogue One, Solo.
Rogue One? Okay.
Yeah, Solo, the last.
What's your favorite of those four?
Rogue One, I think, is the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Best Star Wars movie ever made. Wow.
Yes.
Better than Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
That's like saying Aaron Judge is the best Yankee ever. It's hard to compare eras.
No, not really. I think it was the best Star Wars movie.
It's a great movie.
Empire Strikes Back is second. Have we nerded this up enough yet today?
Oh, not as bad as last week when you were out. Last week when we went hardcore Mandalorian.
Will you see
The Mandalorian before episode 9, just in case there's a tie-in?
I'm hoping to. I'm a very busy man.
What needs to happen?
I need an hour of time.
What can we do? An hour?
Yeah.
So how's about this? Why don't we take tomorrow morning off, watch the first episode? Would you, if I agree not to do the show tomorrow,
I
would
already
you do
planned
that?
Ahead of that, and I have to go. I'm going to our Utica offices tomorrow.
Oh, personally. You're killing me.
No, I work. I'm a man.
I'm not a millennial. What's...
I have work
okay,
to do.
Okay, boomer.
I know, right? I do that to myself in the office, and all the kids love it. I say something, drop an okay, boomer after.
Okay, boomer. What a dumb phrase. It's such a stupid thing.
I'm Gen X. All right.
What?
I'm Gen X. I'm in between boomer and millennial.
We're Gen X?
Yep.
If you were born in the 70s, you're Gen X?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
We're the forgotten generation.
We're the X-Men.
Yeah.
Can we go there? I have no powers.
I have the powers of being terrible on the radio.
Coming up, by the way, on the Hall of Justice, you guys remember the X-Men cartoon from the 90s? Do you remember that cartoon?
No, I was out drinking and having fun.
Not in the 90s.
Trying to pick up women. Yeah,
it
was.
Yeah, I was too. I still saw the X-Men, though. Anyway, the voice of Wolverine is going to be on my podcast. I go where I want to go. Ugh, can't wait. Very exciting.
That's all right.
We'll find out what else Paulie's mad at coming up next. You're on ESPN Syracuse.
This is the Seth Everett Show.
All right, back here on ESPN Syracuse. I want to give a shout out. Coming up, another 10 in a row, commercial free. A shout out to Buckshot.
Uh-oh.
Buckshot's filling in for me tonight. He's doing the postgame show. I have a little medical thing going on, and it's what you should do when you're 45 years old. And I'm 45 years old, and that sucks. But I am, because according to Paulie, I'm a Gen Xer, and there's no question about it. So tonight, I will be MIA, and Buckshot's going to do the postgame. So good job by Seth Goldberg, and really appreciate it.
He's a team player. We have a deep bench. Next man up.
Is that what it is?
ESPN Syracuse. No show tomorrow either.
Yeah, so we're not going to do a show tomorrow. We were just joking, but Paulie still should see The Mandalorian. And we'll be back on Thursday better than ever. And then we'll be rocking and rolling. And listen, that's the bottom line. Look, I hope they beat Iowa. I would love it. I'm a fan. I have no expectations, and I don't have any... That's it. I don't have any hope, or I don't have a vibe for this game. I don't have a feel.
Yeah, and the way I predict things, Marek Dolezal is going to drop 40 tonight.
Boy, he really grinds your gears, man. You don't like this guy.
No, that's not true at all. The first, whenever I predict something, it goes the complete opposite. So he's going to drop 40 tonight.
Oh, so now you're doing reverse psychology?
Yes.
I wish somebody, like, if we had you want to talk about it, staff. Let's a good project would be, we could do an hour. Instead of doing the show tomorrow, we could do an hour of all of your predictions. Of you predicted Florida State was going to go well. You predicted Clemson, they were going to hold their own. You talked me out of betting for Clemson. Remember all that? Like, we could do a whole...
I'm an eternal optimist.
Be a fun best of, don't you think? All right, Centers of Attention is coming up next. That's Danny Shays and Etan Thomas. For Paulie Sebelia, I'm Seth Everett. We'll talk to you Thursday at 10 here on ESPN Syracuse.